brought a Bible with me because we read the text already. But if I don't carry a Bible up to the pulpit, I don't feel like I'm a proper preacher person. So this is sort of like a prop, you know what I mean? So maybe I'll hold that, I don't know, we'll see how I feel. If you make me feel insecure, I'll probably right, well, before I start to talk, I've got, I think we should, let me pray. Lord and Father, we thank you for today. I thank you for this school, for this place of worship, that where we are gathered and where two or more are gathered, Lord, you are here in the midst of us. So we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for your ministry, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for your word. I thank you for everyone gathered here and all of the families and communities that are represented. Lord, be with us today, and I pray that no word mentioned or spoken is a rock of offense or stumbling for anybody, but Lord, that you minister to us through your Holy Spirit, that you draw us forward into becoming the people you have called us to be, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, the theme that I was given by emails was poverty in the city. I guess that was supposed to be quite a loose theme because it's an enormous topic, right? A massive subject. And I heard this psalm. It was part of the lectionary readings. I don't know if the church here works with the lectionary ever, but Christmas week, not Christmas week, Easter week, it was the lectionary psalm. And it really just spoke to me. I don't think I heard it read in that version, but I hope some of you really felt some of the words were very, very powerful. And you can read these things. I don't know if you've got daily readings, any of you, but you can kind of get through it. You know, oh, I need to do the daily readings. So I'll just get through it. And then there are the days when you read the words and they just land in a fresh and wonderful way. Anyway, that's what happened for me when I was considering this topic of poverty in our city. Any city, really. Glasgow City Mission has been a ministry, like I said, to those on the margins for so long. And really, a constant theme and a constant pressure for us is to always re-center ourselves as a team, as an organization, to consider what the kingdom imperatives of our Lord Jesus Christ are. So if we say we come in his name, if we are image bearers of the Lord Almighty, if we dare to claim his name as our own, Christian, little Christs, then how centered are we on the person and the commands of Christ? It's a challenge for us as a believing community, of course. It's a challenge for you as a church that gathers together and grows together and seeks to impact the world together. And of course, for us at City Mission, it's immediately important because we instead of, say, gathering and dispersing, we are dispersed, we gather, and then all of our community that we seek to serve come to our door or our doors. I don't know if any of you know, or much of you know, but we have a child and family centre in Lindhouse near Govan, where we run many programmes as well as run a nursery there. We run a winter shelter. Tonight we'll have a Thanksgiving service for that. That's now completed for the season. We'll see what next year brings. And of course, we've got our city centre as well. And within all of that, there are the challenges of many hundreds of people. You know, on any given night of this, in Glasgow, between 450 and 700 people will be housed at the expense of the city in temporary hotel B&B accommodation every single day. That's a vast number of people. And then you've got those people that have got, say, temporary accommodation, homeless accommodation, which will number in the hundreds as well. And then there are those people that are holding down or hidden from us, the invisible homeless, who are on sofas and friends' floors and the like. You've got the acutely addicted. You've got the people that are trafficked. You've got the people that are here because they're fleeing violence that the Home Office has brought to Glasgow because it's a settlement city. You've got those women who have been brutalised in marriages. You've got those that have suffered breakdown who won't recover, they are broken. And when they're healed, they will heal in a way that still shows the scars of their brokenness. Some of us here will have been through some of these things. These are all the people, and then you start to add up all of these groups that you want to try and minister to. Because it's well and good to give out a roll of sausage. I mean, it makes everybody that volunteers, and those of you that have done do, thank you very much. It's an amazing gift of service and giving, but when we give, often when we give like that, when we give out a lot of food, it makes us feel like we're doing something of value. It makes us feel warm and fuzzy inside. But then what happens to the brokenness of the people? I've got a sermon prepped, and this is my usual form. I prep something, and then when I see your faces, I just start talking. And then I've not really adhered to, and I warned you, didn't I? So you've got, we've got a signal, right? What is that going to be? One of the things I note, because I try not to be political, but if you're in the business of Jesus business, you're political, but you're not. It's hard to be party political. I'm not kind of partisan. I see what I think is right according to what I think we should be doing. Sometimes that falls to the left, and sometimes I'm accused that it falls to the right. But I'm not interested in that binary thing. I'm interested in what the Lord is calling us to do. And frankly, that sometimes pleases nobody all of the time. And that's the way it goes. It's a tough old road, the narrow road, isn't it? Tough to pick up the cross every day and walk. But one of the things I'm meeting with at the moment is that our people that we want to try and minister to and serve, all of their problems will be solved if we throw much more resources. And when people in the secular realm are telling me about resources, what they really mean is, this means money, right? Money and services. If we throw money and services at people, then we can fix the world's problems. I think we have seen over the course of the 20th century and now two decades in to this one, that resources come and resources go. But there's a fundamental brokenness that happens with people for which throwing money at them, it just won't fix it. That isn't always landing well when I say stuff like that. But I believe it to be true, and I know it to be true for myself, and I saw it to be true of family members, and I see it of loved ones and people that are no longer alive today, because no amount of money could fix it. It is incredible. If someone who's chaotic, living chaotically, or if you sometimes are in a bad way, if you struggle, you walk through that door and you bring an element of chaos with you. You're just giving off a spiky energy that's just hard to bear. You become the kind of person that nobody really wants to sit next to, because you can feel the energy of you is just too frightening, too intense. And when you're in the descent of chaos like that, and the black hole starts to appear in you, you become literally a black hole of resources too. You can burn up any amount of money. You can burn up all the taxi rides. You can burn up the justice system. You can burn up the resources available to the NHS. You can burn up all the education. You can get through housing like nobody's business, and nothing's going to fix you. You're just literally like a black hole of resource. Have you seen Jesus Christ Superstar, any of you? I'm Holy Week there. I watched that newer version of it that they filmed in 2018. Another brilliant woman who writes musicals. Doesn't matter. Paredes. She was Mary Magdalene. And it was a wonderful scene where Mary is anointing the Lord with an expensive jar of oil. And Judas is there, the accuser, of course, saying, what a waste of money. Think of the poor. Think of what we could have done for the poor with that. What are you doing? What the heck are you doing? And Jesus says, hold on a minute. The poor you will have with you. It's not about this material thing here. It's about recognizing what you've got when you've got it, when it's in your presence. And Jesus, obviously, as we know, was not about neglecting those that were struggling. Poverty, as we encounter it, when we meet the people that are black holes, and they are frightening, and they are smelly, and spiky, and rude, and frightened, so they act aggressively because they're frightened. which is hard for us to get our heads around because we're all polite people. We were raised with manners and we were just like please and a thank you. And you're not getting it necessarily until we've earned the trust. All of that black hole stuff is symptomatic of their poverty. So now I'll go back on topic. Poverty in the city. All of that use of stuff, poor stewardship of things, is a symptom of the actual poverty that people are experiencing every minute of every day. It was an outward sign of an inner reality. We hear that when we talk about baptism often. I don't know if you've all gone through that kind of conversation. This is an outward sign of an inner reality. Well, when people are know that they're capable. I was told when I first moved to Scotland, I remember someone saying, yeah, the pubs of Glasgow are full of potential world champions. I could have been a contender type thing. But that's not where they are. They're not achieving. They're not worth achieving the potential. Poverty of purpose. The spiritual component there is the key to unlock this black hole. And that key is, of course, a real demonstration of love. Love is that key. Resources are required. We do need resources. The Glasgow City Mission is a blessed agency. It's a blessed expression of the kingdom. It's a blessed expression of the church. We do need those resources, but it isn't the resources that are going to fix people. It's the facilitation of our potential to love people back to life. You're commissioned through your baptism and through your pledge to belong to Christ and to walk according to his purposes. Your job, one another, is to love people back to life. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that on every Sunday morning when I'm trying to get out of church, I love my children back to life because they're annoying. But the reality is when it really comes to the rough start of life, that's our job. Is to do that. In Christ, so what about these things? Connection, nurture, value, identity. I mean, if you've got a poverty of connection, it impacts the spirit. A poverty of nurture crushes the spirit. A poverty of your value inhibits the spirit. Poverty of identity cannot provide a good base for your spirit to flourish. Poverty of purpose, and you cannot see your spirit soar. In Christ, though, we find connection. We have a connection in Christ to the source of all being. And if we can get people that are just living black holes to see the glory of God in the person of Jesus, then they will see the source of all being. That will bypass the faulty connection of abusive upbringings. In Jesus they can get connection. In Jesus they can find nurture. You can get nurture from the scriptures, you get nurture from the songs we sing, nurture from the gospels, nurture from this community, and from our peers, We find a new family in Jesus. There are no orphans in Christ. So all of that flawed upbringing that people experience, when they find the body of Jesus, when they find you, they need to find a family that will love them hopelessly and love them back to life. In Christ we find value. I didn't have a great sense of value, but in Christ I'm told I'm priceless. By his stripes I was healed. That he knew me as I was knitted together in my mother's womb. That my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's affirming if you've only ever been told that you're a piece of filth. That's amazing. What a glorious, joyful, edifying. What a lovely old word. No use that, would I? Edification. In Christ we find value. Our worth is demonstrated in the work of the cross and in the resurrection. As I said before, as people we are image bearers. Truly, even the most rancid person in our city is made in the image of Almighty God. If you believe that to be true, even slightly, then that's the root of our hospitality at Glasgow City Mission. That everybody who walks through that door is made in the image of God, imperfectly, as we all are. And as such, they are worthy of your due regard and full respect and dignified as that. So when they walk through our threshold, over our threshold, the rules of the world cease and the new set of rules are in play. You're worth something. We love you. Come and be with us. And so they start to trust and open up. And it's a beautiful thing to behold. What a privilege to be a part of that work. Unbelievable. I know I'm going to recruit you all. In Christ we find an identity of eternal value. Not an identity rooted in politics. It's not an identity rooted in the fashions of the time. It's not an identity rooted in identity culture. No. It's an identity of being one. Birthed by and the Spirit drawing us forward in unity with Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Participation, an invitation to participation in the kingdom work of Jesus Christ. Wow, it's incredible. And we sit here, don't we, on a Sunday often, and we think, oh, I'm in church today. I kind of like Steve Rice love songs, some nice coffee and some good croissants. Gotta get myself to church. But really, it's the invitation to participation in the kingdom work of the eternal God, of the Alpha and the Omega. Incredible thing. I'm going to wrap it up. Am I wrapping up? How am I doing?
2 minutes.
I breathe, it takes me 2 minutes. Verses 19 and 23. It says, and you'll know very well the scripture, the stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. When you love a person back to life, all that disqualifies them for being a respected member of our citizenship becomes their degree. It becomes their qualification. It becomes their special, what's the word?
Superpower.
Amen. They go from being worthless to being people who are qualified in the most unique and special way. And everything that would disqualify them in the world, when they come to Jesus and are restored, and I can tell you this because I'm still here now, and because many of my employees have been through addiction programs and come through difficult times. What disqualified them in the world? The stone that the builder rejects has now become the chief cornerstone of their ministry. And everything that I do and everything that they do, brilliantly, I don't do it brilliantly, they do it brilliantly, is now the foundation stone of all that we do. So you can turn from complete abyss, chaos and black wholeness into wholeness, and all that was rejected before becomes the chief cornerstone of your ministry, and you can speak into a broken world because you knew what it was like to be broken. We started off our reading today with, I was on a cliff edge. I was on a cliff edge. Were you on a cliff edge? Were you ever on a cliff edge? Do you know anyone who's on a cliff edge? When you see somebody on the street, they may be on a cliff edge.
but pray the Lord rescued me. That's how we began our reading. Then, the stone which the builders rejected is now the chief cornerstone. If you don't know that you're broken, the first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit. If you don't know your poverty, doesn't matter what you've got, you don't take it with you, right? We know that cliche. It's true. But we don't act like it's true. But it is true. That your brokenness is your chief cornerstone. Your brokenness is your chief qualification in ministry to reach the broken world. And the end of our psalm, he says, his love never fails. God's love never fails. I'll fail you. You bet your bottom dollar. There's enough of the old me left for me to guarantee you that if you trusted in me too much, I'd fail you for sure. But my God never fails. Your God never fails. We have a God who never, ever fails. But we can fail because we've been commissioned to love the world back to life, to demonstrate the kingdom of God. That's the job of the Gaza Siege. That's our response to poverty in the city. That should be, that is the church's command and call to participation in the kingdom work of Jesus Christ in this city. Amen.
We're going to have our closing hymn. What's a really very appropriate after what we've been hearing about brokenness. And sorry, Charles, that was a bit of unnatural stop there. We just have to stop. So we can listen to you all day. So thanks very much.
I gave myself a
headache. So you can stay afterwards for the coffee and then people can carry on speaking. So we're now going to have our final, Charles is going to.